Good evening, one and all. It's a Wednesday. Well, I think it's a Wednesday. I was just talking to my guest with sort of a couple of work issues through the night and not a lot of sleep for a couple of days last week, and then on call the weekend. And so I've lost track. I have honestly lost track. In fact, I lost track so badly that I actually tried to call the person who's next week's guest last night. But never mind, I am here and so is my guest. Now, during life there are times when you have to sort of, you know, you sort of recalculate your life. You set off again, make your decisions for the future, whether it's changing from a job to another job, or whether it's like my guest, you know, she'd been in the forces for 20 years. What do you do after that? How do you make the decisions? How do you start off moving forward to the next phase of your life? Well, I'm going to find out, because on the show today, I have the one and only Shawanda Randolph. Hi, Shawanda. How are you doing?
Hi, Barry. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm fair to middling, I think. I mean, I should be okay because it's a bit warmer. We've got rid of the snow and the wind here in Connecticut. It's a bit warmer. Everything's melting, which means it's flooding. But apart from that, so I should be fine. But I don't know. As I said before the show, I could have sworn today was Thursday. I even put the garbage can out thinking it was Thursday. And it was a bit of a shock when the wife said, "Oh, don't you have a show tonight? This is Thursday." "No, it's Wednesday." Oh, crap. I am here. That's the important thing. And so are you. Now, excuse me. As I said in the introduction, you know, you've been in the Air Force, wasn't it, for 20 years. And obvious with all that, with the leadership and everything like that, it's a case of what do you do? What's your next step, isn't it, after that?
It is. It is, especially because you kind of get into this routine and this, it's a whole lifestyle, you know. It's not just a job. It's just a completely different way of life and having to readjust after coming out of the military. And it was definitely an adjustment. I mean, it was even an adjustment is really thinking of, I actually have to figure out what I'm going to wear every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been wearing a uniform every day, you know, pretty much every day for 20 years. But, you know, what was I going to do? Was I going to stay in a field that was related to what I was doing in the military? Did I want to take on more responsibility? And I was an empty nester.
Right.
My son was already in college. So it was definitely a major turning point in my life. Definitely a major turning point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you had all those years of knowing exactly, as you say, not just what to wear, what you're going to do. You had to get up here, you had to go there, and suddenly there you are, empty nest at home. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with my time? But you're not one of these people who sat around and you went and did it. You followed up on several things. We'll get to that in a minute. But you also wrote your first book, Fresh Manner. Journey to a New Beginning.
Yes. I tell you, I did not think I was going to be a writer. I will tell you, so when I retired, I said, I was a healthcare administrator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, I still want to, you know, run hospitals. I still want to maybe work in insurance, you know, because that's part of what I did as well. I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I want to do. And the first thing I did was work in compliance for a major corporation. And I think that just has a lot to do with, again, trying to keep some type of normalcy or whatever that normalcy meant.
Right.
Man, when I did Fresh Manna, it was crazy because I actually started going out on a hiking group.
Really?
And because I was out hiking, and, you know, something I've always wanted to do, but never really took the time to do it. And I came across a group that was in my neighborhood, and we have trails and mountains all in the area. So I would go out with them and just listening and learning, and just enjoying that experience. Fresh Manna evolved.
Exactly. I mean, you're at one. Stuff you never notice. You pass it by in the car, or you take no notice. You're out there in with nature, and the mm-hmm. one you know, and appreciate the what it is that was created. And yes, as you said, it was your own personal wilderness, if you like, a journey through that.
It really was. And what's interesting is that I've always been a runner, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would run in, you know, races and, you know, short races, you know, 3 or 5 miles or things like that. But at that point of, at that point in my life, I had to learn to slow down.
Right.
And by taking the time to slow down and not running and actually walking is when I realized, wow, there's so much more around that I never really paid attention to. There's so much that's happening around me that I wasn't really paying attention to. Again, because of the lifestyle that I had, I was always, you know, consistently busy, always having that type of routine, sometimes going into work before the sun came up and coming home after the sun went down. Because even the trails and things like that that was in my neighborhood, I never experienced them. And I had been living here at the time already 3 years.
Yeah.
So now it was like, slow down and enjoy life. Enjoy the beauty around you and realize that, man, within this creation, and now I'm taking that time to slow down and think and process things on my own. That's how this book truly evolved. Just taking everything in and learning all over again.
See,
I said it was truly a wilderness journey.
I can relate to that because I started running again at 45. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'd always done sport. I, you know, played everything, but I the running part was mainly when I was younger. But I took up running again, and I used to love, because I was near the seafront, so I used to love going for the training runs along the seafront with the spray. And a lot of the races were along the seafronts at Brighton and along the seafront in England. And it's amazing that you're going out on a Sunday morning, you know, with a bit of a chill in the air, and you're going through the paths, mm-hmm. and, you know, people just getting up in the farms, and it was beautiful. And it's like I did 4 London marathons. Now the first one I did just to complete, concentrate, and after that I became a member of a running club and stuff like that, and the mm-hmm. the last 3 I did in costume, I did in fancy dress, just to not for times and stuff, but because I wanted to enjoy every moment. The first one you're so concentrating on getting round that, you know, after mm-hmm. that it's a case of, okay, so I'm going to take 4 hours, you know, but heck, you know, I'm going to notice parts of London I've never even seen before, and yet I've been there all my life up and down. You know, it's amazing, and let alone the crowds and the people and the other mm-hmm. runners and stuff like that. You have to, as I say, stop and smell the roses sometime.
And that's exactly what I was learning to do again, was stopping to smell the roses, because, man, I would even go out to run to kind of clear my head. So everything was, I would run away from everything so that I could just kind of have my peace or what have you. And I enjoyed it. It was great. And I still love to do it. Mm. But that point, it was like, because I'm a Christian. So for me, I believe that it was, you know, God was like, why don't you slow down a little bit?
Right.
And why don't you kind of let me show you what's really around you?
And I think that's great. I mean, that's part of it. I can remember you get into like an automated run, you know, you run it and your mind's thinking, I wrote so many short stories in my head while I was running.
Yes.
I had to take a piece of paper with me and stop and scribble a few. The trouble is, by the time I got home, I couldn't read the paper. You know?
Yeah, and so now when I would go walking, you know, like I said, I did Freshmana, and I would always get a lesson of the day and kind of write it down,
uh-huh.
Different things from that I would experience. And so that's why with Freshmana, it became so practical, because, you know, I studied theology, and I've always, you know, for the most part, grown up in church. But for me, it was, why can't we just make it simple and plain and make it practical? Because for people that believe in God, you know, like myself, or, you know, whatever it is that they believe, if you believe that, you know, this God is in your life and everywhere, then why can you not experience him in everything? You
exactly.
know, if this is this creation. So if you go out into the mountains and you spend that time in the mountains, you see the beauty, you see the creation, you experience the relationships. And there's a lesson to be learned that you can apply to your life. And believe it or not, it becomes the word of God. It's just very simple and plain.
Yep.
And that's what I do in Fresh Manna, was just to make it very simple, very plain, very practical, that these are life lessons. And, you know, for people that are Christian or not Christian, they can still read that and understand, like, man, you can really take a lot out of just going through life with people that you meet and places that you go and the things that are around you, and you can hear clearly. And now even, you know, I walk more so on my own, and I do a blog, but it's interesting because when I'm walking out on my own in the morning, I actually will complete a blog. So
I know.
Complete it on my phone.
Yeah, I believe it. I totally.
I post it by the time I get home.
Totally understand. I wish I had a phone like that when I was doing the running. But no, you're so right. And it gives you that chance to appreciate the wonders, to appreciate, you know, the wonders of God, how what he's done, what there is. You see, there's so many things you see. Good things, little things, good little things, you know, as you go around, that you wouldn't notice. You would just pass it by, you know, and if you do that, and if you open your mind and you open your eyes to appreciate that sort of stuff, and I think that, yeah, that's what people need to do these days, to really say, hey, you know, never mind about, you know, getting this done and this to work and that. Look at this. Look at that sunset. Look at that tree and the color of the leaves.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Because it's not, you just take it all for granted.
You take
it for granted, and you get tunnel vision. You know, thinking, I have to just go and accomplish. I have to go and seek. I have to go and do. And it's like you're going and going and going, but it's like, Did you pay attention to what's around you? Did you make a connection today? Did you have a relationship, you know, start a new relationship with someone today? Did you experience something new today? Because every day is a new day. So since every day is a new day and you're out doing something new, why can you not experience something new? And, you know, that's one of the things that I really learned to appreciate again. Different paths that I would take, which we can talk about, you know, related to different paths in life we take and then different things we experience on that path and how we deal with that and barriers that you come up with. So even if you're driving somewhere, you come to a dead end and you think, man, I've been driving down this road every day and now there's, you know, a detour. And so now I have to go around, but it doesn't stop me from where I'm going. Well, guess what? That's a lesson in life that you can apply to your life.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
You're going down this journey and things happen, but you don't let it stop you. You just keep pressing through.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Too many people, I think, give up these days pretty easy and start blaming everybody else except themselves. But now, of course, you've got a new book come out this month, I believe. Beautiful 20 beautiful women. I was going to say beautiful women 20. Looking at the cover, 20 beautiful women. So where did this idea come from?
So 20 beautiful women is actually more of a collaboration book. I was actually invited to be a part of it, and I was just very grateful that the original author and publisher, Saba Tekel, reached out to me to ask me to be a part of this book. And I've always wanted to kind of tell my story of, you know, my personal life experiences to be an encourager, to influence other people to, you know, as the young people say now, live their best life, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
And so this just was a door that opened for me to be able to do that at a very unexpected time. And although I always knew I wanted to share my story, I will tell you when that opportunity came, I went, well, wow, which part of my life do I really share that really makes a difference? And I used basically a traumatic experience in my past share with others.
Because, you know, I know, you know, from what I've read, you know, you, you growing up, you were physically, mentally, and sexually abused.
Yeah.
We've had quite a few things on this, and one of the things that comes out is in writing the story, yes, you're trying to explain, and hopefully help other people, but it's also a healing for you. Did you find that?
It's always a healing for me. I've always journaled in my life, right? But I would share my story with others, but actually putting it in a book, meaning that more people you know, people you don't know, are actually going to read that. Man, talk about stepping out on faith. Because, it's healing for me to kind of deal with that in that way. And then again, to publish it in a book. It's one thing when you journal, and that's healing.
Yes.
But to say, I'm at a place to where I'm actually going to have a public platform to share. And you kind of get that out. And then it's empowerment for yourself to say, I am, this is who I am, and this is what I can do. And I'm going to go forth with this message. And it just helped me really to get into that next step of this nonprofit that I'm actually creating to essentially do the same thing, but on a different level. So healing all over, and definitely empowerment and encouraging for me to continue to go forward.
Because that's the, was it DeSilla Comfort Center?
Yes.
What you got now, but I know you really want to sort of open it up more, don't you, human trafficking and violence and assault and stuff like that, to be that sort of center for people.
Yes, and so the DeSilla Comfort Center is actually named after my mom and her twin brother. Yes, so their middle names are Aquila and Priscilla.
Okay.
Yes, from the Bible. And
right.
So that whole message, that whole spirit of Aquila and Priscilla, of hospitality and love and graciousness to help those who are essentially like refugees. It's kind of the spirit that we want to embody with the DeSilla Comfort Center, again, like you said, to help those who have been victimized by sexual assault, human trafficking, and domestic violence, bringing them in and helping them to, helping them to see hope in their future, help them on their healing process, and essentially do for them what people in my life have done for me, which was to be examples of who God is, and that experience of God, of love, hospitality, having faith, hope, reconciliation, and help them with that part of their healing so that they can reintegrate into community with healthier relationships and move into their future.
A lot of the sort of human trafficking part, there was a lady written quite a few books, and she was on the show a lot when we first started the show, called Kathy Messias. And she's coming back on the show in a couple of weeks. I haven't spoken to her for a couple of years now, but she wrote a lot of wonderful books about the trafficking. And I never realized that the worst place for human trafficking is America. It's the worst place by a long way. You immediately think, it's going to be somewhere like China or Bangkok or something like that. But nope, it's America. It's crazy when you think about it.
It is. And that's one of the things that we really want to hone on and bring awareness to, because with the DeSilla Comfort Center, it's all about community. It's about spreading that awareness in the community so that the community understands that this is not just an international thing. There is no one particular face or that you look at and say, yes, that person is, could be subjected to human trafficking, or yes, that person went through human trafficking. We want them to see that this can affect any and everyone. Basically, understand your neighbor and understand the needs of your neighbor so that we can be more vigilant and also, help those who are in need. So we're really about embodying that whole sense of community, getting the community involved, and then working together to help those in the community.
I think that's a big thing, the whole community part. In fact, funny enough, it's another lady I got coming back on the show, and she was on the show about 4 years ago. Linda Schreiker Smith. I can't remember the name. And she wrote a book. She was in the Amish faith. And she was born in the faith, and her father was one of the seniors and everything like that. And she managed to escape. And basically, because of all what went on behind the closed doors of the faith. And even now, talking to her, with, you know, coming on, she cannot publish under her real name. Because it's a bit like Shalman Rusky, that, you know, half the people think she did a wonderful job opening up what goes on and everything, and the other half are after her, you know, for doing it. It's really, and I think that goes, you know, I'll use that as an example to go back to the neighbourhood. You know, look out for these things. Look for the signs. Mm-hmm. Don't close your eyes to them. Too many people don't want to get involved. It shocks me these days. And a couple of, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, that there was a store detective or a policeman or something like that trying to arrest somebody who was, you know, burlesque with a knife or a machete or something like that. And there's people he's asking for help to help him with the handcuffs, and these people are just standing around and taking videos with their phones.
Taking videos, right.
I mean, nobody right. nobody went to help. It's beyond me. It's beyond me to understand how you could he's a camera. I'm going to take this. Right. This is going to be on YouTube. Yeah, I'll do this. And this bloke's trying to sedate this person who's gone, you know, mad, and trying to get the handcuffs on and needs help to hold the arm while he gets. And now I'm going to carry on taking this video.
Right, and so everyone wants to be a bystander, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we want to change. We want to change that in our community, to say, don't just be a bystander. Be an active participant in your community. If you're going to live here, be involved in the community. Understand what's happening in your community and take a stand, so that, you know, we can help those in the community. Because one of the things I posted the other day was, if someone's hurting in the community, it impacts the community.
Yes.
So therefore, it takes a community to help people heal.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's what we want to, that's what we want to demonstrate. And we want to build that up. So for instance, even when we have small businesses, there are small businesses in the community. So why don't we partner together to help those that are in the community? Because if you're going to come into a community and sell your product, right?
Yep.
If you're going to come into the community to even say a church, if you're going to come in, you're going to build a church or have a store that's going to sell to the community, why not be an active part of that community? You cannot just come in and plant without being a participant.
They've got a thing here in Bristol where I live that they've got, I think it's a cash mob it's called or something like that. And every other month, they pick a small business or a small little restaurant or something like that, and everybody goes in and spends money in there. You know, just to help it grow. And you're quite right with what you're saying. I mean, you don't want to pass by on the other side. You want to be the Samaritan. Mm-hmm. You want to be the person. If you can help, you help. You know, don't
right.
close your eyes and your ears to everything. That, you know, if you see. Mm-hmm. It's like my I'm the black sheep in my family, the only one that's not a teacher. Yeah, but you know, my sisters and nieces and nephews, and one of the things in England you're taught for teachers, and I'm sure it's over here as well, is to look out for these warning signs, to look out for the bruises on the kids, to look out for, you know, the long sleeves when it's hot outside and stuff like that. You've got to look out for that sort of thing.
And that's what we want to teach. We want to give them the tools to be able to
yes.
do that. And then also what it does is it helps those who need to come back into the community with a healthy lifestyle. So this way, as a community, we don't re-victimize them.
Mm.
We definitely don't want to do that. We don't want to look at them and say, well, this is what you've been through. And so this is what happened to you. And therefore, that's who you are. You'll always be like that for the rest of your life. We don't want to do that. We want to understand, get a better understanding of what people have gone through, what they are going through for their healing journey, and then what they're going to need even, you know, once they leave our center. And you know, they need to reconnect and make those connections in the community. And we don't want them re-victimized. And so everybody has to play a part. Everybody has to play a part. And the truth of the matter is that that is the principle, one of the principles that's truly a biblical foundation, which is community living.
Yes.
It wasn't just about, you know, your household or you just all had the same last name. If you're all a part of that community, then you're, that's your tribe. That's who you're a part of. You know, the Israelites, they, when you look at the history, it wasn't just everyone from a family name. It was truly about community.
Yep, the whole community.
It was truly
yes.
about community. Exactly, and they all worked together to sustain the community and one another. And that's what we want to get back to. That's what we want to help. We don't want people to just say, well, this happened and, you know, and just keep looking and turning right. your head. No, right. we want to break down myths and barriers so that we can truly make a difference in our community and not just lip service.
Well, I'm sure with your Fresh Manna book and your part in the 20 Beautiful Women that you are doing that. As you said, as we said at the beginning, it's just like coming out of the Air Force and that. You start off in the next phase of your life, and that's what I'm sure mm-hmm. you're doing to, and helping a lot of people doing it. But it's coming towards the end of the show, so what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your books.
Absolutely. Thank you. So to find out more about me, I have a blog that I encourage everyone to become a subscriber. It is ShawandaRandolph.com. And then you can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook for what I call Morning Manna, where I send out different devotionals and encouraging messages and inspirational messages, mostly almost every day. And that handle is Randolph.FreshManna. And my books are Fresh Manna, A Journey to a New Beginning is on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and also pretty much any online retail store. And 20 Beautiful Women is also available as an ebook on Barnes and Nobles, but I will personally sign copies for anyone who purchases those books through my website at ShawandaRandolph.com.
Well, Shawanda, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Wonderful work you've done, and I'm sure you're going to continue to help people and hopefully, you know, make people's next steps in their life a bit easier. So thank you very much for being a guest on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's truly been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Shawanda Randolph. That's S-H-A-W-A-N-D-A-R. So D-A. Let's try that again, Barry. S-H-A-W-A-N-D-A. Shawanda. And then R-A-N-D-O-L-P-H. Randolph. So you put those together and you get a website, Shawanda Randolph. That's why I was getting confused. I was reading it straight off the website. But there, yes, go there, read about the stuff, read about the great stuff in these books and the great stuff that Shawanda's doing. Really enjoyed this show. Well, that's it. I'll be back next week. We've got a couple of great guests next week. I knew we had somebody. Next Wednesday, this a week today, we've got Steve Berry coming back. Always great to have Steve Berry on the show with his new book about Malta. Looking forward to that. Anyway, that's it. Don't forget Sunday, 5 till 6 here on New Visions Radio. You can listen to an hour of Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century with me, and the odd snippet and comedy stuff as well. And then on 6:30 to 7, 30 minutes of the British Invasion. Music that invaded America from England. Well, that's it for now. Until next time, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.